Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. Stan Kellner serves as CEO of Sanctity of Life Ministries, a pro-life ministry serving Fairfax County through pregnancy help centers in Alexandria and Fairfax, Virginia. Stan, welcome to Heartline.
Well, thank you, Rita. Glad to be on the program.
Sanctity of Life is near and dear to my heart, as you know, because my husband Mike was president of the board over there for 13 years. And we've seen God do so many miraculous things. So it's really cool to have you on today, especially as we approach Pro-Life Sunday and talk about what's out there and available for women who are facing a crisis pregnancy. Can you start us out by giving us a little history on pregnancy help centers?
You bet. Yeah, my information, in fact, and experience dates back to the 90s. I know that it goes even before that, but I cut my eye teeth in what I call the pro-life arena back when I was working at Focus on the Family. One of my coworkers was a gal who God used to actually start like a crisis pregnancy center outreach to the early makings of a lot of the ministries that are now national, like Heartbeat International, CareNet, which used to be called Christian Action Council. I mean, we're going way back.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the days when we were hearing a lot about, because of things like Roe versus Wade, because when Dr. Dobson would speak about abortion, and he'd felt this for years, all of a sudden it was becoming a quote-unquote political issue. And so there was a lot that was taking place at Focus to say, you know, we need to really work at more information and clarify and help pregnancy centers really get more support. And so that's sort of how I entered the scene way back in the 90s. There's probably, and numbers vary, Rita, anywhere from 2,000 to 2,500 what we call pregnancy help centers nationally. And you can get stats from, again, folks like CareNet and Heartbeat. Most are what I call, in many ways, the basic meeting of needs with counseling, with material needs, with pregnancy tests, with post-abortion counseling as needed, those types of areas. I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later, but one of the up-and-coming things that's happened in the last decade to 15 years especially is the introduction of ultrasound and how that's actually, in many ways, revolutionizing the impact that pregnancy centers can have.
Yeah.
And so there are probably, again, I don't know exact statistics, but I heard as many as perhaps up to 1,000 or so pregnancy centers that do have ultrasound now nationally.
Mm. Yeah, that's so cool. I love being able to come to the center and see what you're doing with that.
Yes.
For those who may not know help is available or what a pregnancy help center is, can you explain exactly what a woman can expect when they first call a pregnancy help center and make an appointment?
Totally. In fact, let me tell you, with our technology of today, you know, while we certainly do some advertising in various ways, well over 70% of all of our clients find out about us through the internet.
Mm.
So that's a real critical factor for a lot of pregnancy centers these days, especially many who live on a shoestring budget, that if they can get a hold of info about internet, like Google ads and things like that, not endorsing them, but that's some of who we use, and it really is bringing clients in on a very regular basis.
And what would be the web address for Sanctity of Life? Can you give that now?
Yeah, for the client, in this day and age, more often than not, pregnancy centers have two different websites just by nature of what how things have developed. So if a client is interested, the young lady in someone's church or neighborhood, or they work with them at Safeway or in school or whatever, Our client website is SLM, which of course stands for Sanctity of Life Ministries, slmpregnancy.org. And so that's for a client that if they're really interested in finding out, they can click on there and get, or they can get information, they get phone numbers, contact, where we're located, even some information about fetal development, just a smattering of things that help them acclimate to who we are. For the friend of the ministry, I guess you'd say, or for anyone who might want to sort of look behind the scenes and get newsletters, things like that, they go to slmgetinvolved.org. So that's slmgetinvolved.org.
And that's for folks that live in the Northern Virginia area.
Yeah, obviously, primarily. Although I suppose if someone from another part of the country wanted to contact us to sort of gain insight of, hey, how do you guys handle this or how do you operate with that? I mean, we're all a big family across the country willing to help each other. But back to your important question, you know, we ask in our intake form, everybody that comes in, how, you know, what's happened? What's the dynamic? What brings you here? How did you find out about us? And our particular age group primarily deals with about 15 to 24 years old. And it could be everything from, you know, a gal that's in high school and finds out she's pregnant, to even someone who's married and has a perspective like, I have too many kids now and I want to consider abortion because I just can't bring another mouth to feed into the world, you know, and everything in between. And let me be quick to say, Rita, that that SLM, Sanctity of Life Ministries, along with many others around the country, we are not a judgmental type organization. Clearly pro-life, clearly standing on, you know, life begins at conception, but we recognize that folks bring baggage into our centers every day of the week with social dynamics, you know, family dynamics, things they've learned at school or in their college class. So we try to be really sensitive as we try to hear their story unravel or unfold in front of us as we counsel with them. And so what they can typically expect, I'll give you sort of the step-by-step, but I'll just give you a brief overview. Yeah, so basically someone comes in, they fill out forms. You know, picture yourself like going to a medical office, to a dentist or, you know, your doctor for a checkup or whatever. So we have an actual intake form. We're collecting information just to have a better understanding of who the people are. Because we are a faith-based Christian nonprofit, we do include at least questions that could lead to spiritual discussions. Never are they forced, but they certainly are prayed over. And so we do ask about spiritual dimensions because we believe that, you know, our goal is that to answer about whether they should have an abortion or not is a critical issue. But in a sense, we don't want to see them 6 months from now in this stuck in the same cycle saying, hey, we like you guys so much. We're back again.
Yeah.
We're sort of one of those few quote unquote businesses that does not want repeat
customers. Absolutely.
So anyway, so they come in for an intake form, and then they're assigned a client advocate. They meet together in a counseling room. And those appointments can take anywhere from 30 minutes to 45, perhaps even an hour to an hour and a quarter. Again, gleaning information, getting to know the person. We don't have a cookie-cutter approach. We really desire to get to know that person or couple that morning or afternoon when they're here. Sort of like a spiritual triage and a physical triage, like in a hospital. So we want to do the best to know what the next steps are. So let's say, for example, the typical situation, we'll say, you know, are you pregnant? Well, I don't know. Okay, let's have a pregnancy test to at least see about that. So the pregnancy test, positive or negative. If it's positive, we press on to the next steps. Now, I will say quickly, if it's negative, we don't just say, whew, you bit the bullet on that one, see you later. We actually use that time, yeah, really. We actually use that time as a very constructive time to say, okay, it is negative. Now, let's talk about what got you into this situation to begin with, and maybe we can help you with some guidance so you don't find yourself in this situation again.
Yeah, so prevention.
Yeah, again, primarily what we call sexual integrity or sexual health and sexual and healthy relationships. So then let's say they are pregnant, and then what will happen is depending on where they're at with the level of intensity, they're, you know, sort of excited about the pregnancy but not sure, or they're saying, you know, I'm ready to go to an abortion clinic and get an abortion tomorrow. We try to gauge then what the critical nature is at that point through the counseling that we do. And if we sense, in, as in many cases, that they need an ultrasound sooner than later. In some cases, we can schedule right away, but typically there could be a few days gap, and we'll have them back for an ultrasound. And part of that is because we want to just help them think through what they're doing and have some information we've given them sink in, both about the clarity about abortion and some of its challenges, but also the clarity about motherhood and the potential also about the concept of making an adoption plan. Mm. We believe that's equally courageous if a young lady doesn't feel like she can be a mom, but wants to, you know, consider helping a couple who's been longing for a child, and maybe she could be the birth mother type situation. So then that's sort of the basic steps there. And then we also have what's called an Earn While You Learn program, so that as things are progressing, we don't want to just leave them high and dry even when we're done. So we have anywhere from a 5 to 10 week module set where they can actually take classes, you know, almost like parenting 101 or, you know, diaper changing 101, that type of thing, to really start giving them some skills. And so in the thread for us, for all of that's going on, our watchwords, our sort of deep calling, Rita, is life in Christ, life in the womb. Every time we meet with a client, we're always thinking, you know, do they know Christ? If not, are there sensitive ways that we can lead them to that knowledge? Prayer, you know, sharing of the gospel, any of those types of things. We want to be very intentional but very sensitive, be winsome witnesses. And then life in the womb. We think that's equal. In other words, we want to be able to save the life of a baby and the decision a young mom or dad might make. So that's sort of inherent and really threaded through everything that we do every day of the week.
Yeah, you know, Stan, that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about and ask you, you know, what is the heart of a crisis pregnancy center and what do you care about? And you've articulated that so beautifully, because I think often people have such a negative view of pro-life people, you know, that we're trying to force women to have unwanted kids, they're trying to push their religious views. And I think what you've said is that the heart is to be able to come alongside of a woman and partner with her, disciple her, love her as she walks through this most difficult time. And I know, you know, from having worked there myself years ago, you know, there's also practical ways that you guys help with that, like providing clothing and other things. Can you talk about that too?
Yeah, that's really the heart of why we exist, again, the life in Christ, life in the womb, because, you know, what differentiates us, we are medical as well, so, you know, and I don't know exactly, I've not figured out how to exactly say this. We're not just a quote-unquote typical medical clinic. We obviously are a medical clinic with a purpose, and that is to use those tools, these excellent tools that we have at our disposal these days, to bring more light to the subject. I mean, we introduced ultrasound here in Fairfax at our main center that's been around for about 28 years now. We introduced ultrasound about 3 years ago or so. And we're seeing what we hoped we'd see. In other words, someone's really wrestling with the issue and, you know, maybe or maybe not that they've accepted Christ. Maybe they want to know more about God. Maybe they don't. Again, we don't force that issue, but we are intentional. But what we do, we are glad for as we have the ultrasound is it's one more step. So when there's a young lady and a man who come into the ultrasound room, you know, they're told it's a blob of tissue. Many abortion clinic websites say, hey, it's a problem. Let us take care of the problem for you. So they're not even seeing it as a human life. Mm. And so then they come in, and I had someone once say, you know, what pregnant woman doesn't know that there's life inside her? Well, sorry, our experience is we have a number of pregnant people that come in here, and then they're lying on the table and see this little wiggling inside them, depending on what age the baby is. And they, I mean, without exception, just about, they go, wow, there's life in there.
Wow.
I'm seeing the hands wave. I'm seeing it jump around. In fact, we have, if folks were to go to our slmgetinvolved.org website, we actually posted recently what we call the dancing baby video, because there was a couple who were destined for abortion on a Wednesday, came in for an ultrasound on a Tuesday, and she basically said to us, I need to see activity in my womb, otherwise I'm getting an abortion tomorrow. And then what played out, I think by God, is one of the more active ultrasound videos we've ever had.
Wow.
Where she saw this baby just dancing around inside her, and that convinced her and her baby father, as we call, to be able to say yes to life. So it's very fascinating. You know, it's not just a, you know, run of the mill, quote unquote, medical procedure. We pray over it. We want to be able to share with them that this is the miracle of God that's taking place inside you. And like I said, almost without exception, they go, wow, I've been fooled, or I didn't know, or I didn't think about it. Now I see the gravity of what's going on. There's no way I can abort this baby.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was there, volunteering, I know that, you know, we actually had, you know, a medical doctor that we would take people to who offered his services for free.
Uh-huh.
The free clothes for maternity clothes, baby clothes, you guys did that, you know, like strollers. I mean, there was just so many things that you offered on a practical level that helped women in this situation, as well as the love that was there. And so I think that just can't be, missed here. I mean, it's such a critical part of what crisis pregnancy centers want to do, is to build that relationship with the women that walk through there.
And I have a fresh statistic for you, Rita, that, you know, when we look at community impact, when we're talking about the pregnancy test, the ultrasound, the equivalent cost, because, by the way, all of our services, as most pregnancy centers that I know of, all of us provide our services free of charge. You know, we're supported by individuals, churches, corporations, et cetera. And so that's, we live by faith on this effort. And so that's what, that way we can provide all these services free of charge. And the fresh stat is, in 2012, between material needs and ultrasounds, et cetera, we saved our county $128,500 in material goods, social and medical services, and other assistance.
Wow.
So, yeah, so in a sense, like I say, that's sort of a gravy benefit, but that really is also at the heart of what we do, is life in Christ, life in the womb, is the core of why we exist, but how that works out in practicality is what you're expressing. We want to show that love of Jesus. We want to be able to recognize they're a fellow human being walking a tough path. We want to do our best to try to help answer questions, make them feel comfortable, feel welcome. We also are hoping that they'll make the best decision possible. And the fact is, I know some of the pro-abortion people will say, maybe many will say, that there's no effects of abortion. And the fact is, you know, we're on this end of it, seeing the effects of abortion and trying to walk through with people about how proper healing can take place in their life, even if they've experienced an abortion.
So what kinds of things do you have available for the post-abortive woman at the center?
Yeah, there's the Pregnancy Center movement has really worked hard at this, and so we're recipients of a lot of that work. It could be everything from the physical and emotional discussions that need to be had. Certainly, we're open to refer folks to area counselors who might engage in a speciality of this of post-abortion, almost like a post-traumatic stress disorder type feel. But also in the spiritual end, there's just some really excellent Bible studies out there. They're typically 10 to 12 weeks long. Some folks even have weekend get-togethers. We focus more on the Bible study approach, also talking about the human facets of it, certainly, but feeling like that, as Scripture shows us, that true healing, you know, it says you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And part of the truth is we want people to understand that, that God is not condemning them, that God, in fact, through Jesus, forgave them, you know, for all sins, past, present, and future. And we want to help in the healing process so that the Holy Spirit can go deep inside them and really do a cleansing that, that we can't do, but only He can do. Using the springboard of Scripture and prayer and guidance along the way.
That is so critical for people to know. That's such an important point. I'm so glad you said that.
You bet.
It's been 40 years since Roe v. Wade and the legalization of abortion. What's your view about how legalized abortion has impacted our nation?
Well, you know, I can give you some of the pat answers, but, you know, I'm an individual like everybody else. Give you a quick story. I was a hippie. Way back when.
Were you really?
Yes, right about the time this was happening. And part of my testimony as I share it is I was raised in a Jewish religion, Jewish background, and I love my roots and came to faith many years ago, and so now I'm a Jewish person who believes in Jesus. But way back when I was a hippie, we actually had a gal in our midst. Here we were in Boston. I grew up in the Boston area. And during a period of time, five times she left for a weekend, and every time she'd come back, I'd go, we'd say, basically, what's wrong with her? Is she okay? Well, what we found out after the fact is that every time she left, she'd go over the New York state line where it was legal at that point, and she'd have an abortion.
Oh, my gosh.
And none of us were scientists. None of us were, had this in a test tube. But we noticed for her that every time she came back, her countenance changed. So I say that to say this. How do I even begin? God's heart is broken. He loves life. We as a nation have chosen to look, to many cases, turn a blind eye to the reality of the fact that 55 million babies have been aborted since Roe versus Wade. I sort of liken it, being from the Jewish background, I liken it to the Holocaust, that unless the family has experienced the Holocaust, you can read about it in a history book. But some of my family were, extended family perished in the Holocaust. But I also talk about that we're living in a modern-day Holocaust, and that's called abortion. And so I think it's desensitized our culture. In fact, back in the 70s, my wife and I met at Bible College, and we had some very astute professors back then that basically said, you're going to start hearing about this whole abortion thing because of Roe versus Wade, but you have to understand, it isn't just abortion. It's going to impact the other end of the spectrum, euthanasia. It's going to, infanticide.
Yeah, we're seeing more of that.
Yeah, right. Physician-assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. These guys were like prophets back in the 70s. And now here we are 40 years later, and we're living basically, the general culture of the United States is what we refer to as a culture of death. We're not saying that every single person is evil or whatever, but we do believe that there's spiritual wickedness that is really challenging the United States of America because of abortion. And I believe that, whatever the answers are supposed to be, we agree with legislation and appreciate it and pray for it. But we just also see, Rita, I guess because there's about 2,000 pregnancy centers, that in a sense we want to win back the heart of the nation one client at a time type feel.
Yeah.
We want to do some big things, certainly, but all of our stats show us that as we look through the years, as you experienced years ago and your involvement here, we can look back and say we've helped change hearts to really understand the truth of what it's all about. And I got to tell you, it's gotten to a certain point where just a fresh article from Time magazine last week, basically the article was entitled, What Choice? And it goes on to say in the title, Abortion Rights Activists Won an Epic Victory in Roe versus Wade. They've been losing ever since.
Really?
And it's talking about from the pro-abortion point of view, and these are pro-abortion folks who are interviewed, that indeed, there's some infighting taking place. There's some what they felt was miscommunication. One person said, in fact, we can't just tell people that an abortion is just another medical procedure, having a tooth pulled or having your appendix out. This person, it blew me away that they were so intellectually honest. She said, it involves the termination of an early form of human life. That deserves some gravitas. I'm going, hello.
Wow.
Yeah, this isn't just a blob of tissue. It's not just a problem to deal with. It involves the termination of an early form of life. And this is a pro-abortion leader who's saying this. Before that, it's interesting, there's one phrase here in a paragraph, and I know your listeners may not catch this right away, but here's what they said. The anti-abortion cause, that's us,
mm-hmm.
The anti-abortion cause has been aided by scientific advances that have complicated American attitudes about abortion.
Oh, my God.
They're talking about prenatal ultrasound.
Yeah.
Notice that. I'm sure your listeners caught it. It says these scientific advances have complicated, not cleared up or clarified or finally answered. It's complicated the discussion because guess what? Now all across the country with ultrasound technology, more and more clients, more and more ladies who are pregnant are seeing life on the screen, and they're saying, hey, it's not just a blob of tissue. Why did you tell me that all along? Why was I taught this? Why did I believe this? They're being confronted by life on the screen, and it's changing millions of hearts in America today. In fact, the abortion rate, the good news, bad news, it is down a little bit. I mean, we used to say there was 1.5 million abortions a year. It is down to about 1.2 million abortions a year. And there were some 1,800 or so abortion clinics, to give the exactness of the stat. something like 1,800 abortion clinics. Now there's about 700 or 800 that we know of, at least Planned Parenthood type approached clinics. So there are some victories like that, but I still think it's the heart that has to change, whether it be individually or corporately, because it is stealing what I'd call the heart of America.
Absolutely, Stan. So SLM and other pregnancy help centers around the country need practical help. They need volunteers. They need donations. They need money, all of those things. How can people do that for your center? How can people tap into the centers around the country in their towns and communities and do something to help?
You bet. A good question. I appreciate that too. Because again, I mentioned earlier, all of our services are free of charge. We are nonprofit. We choose to be that way. So the idea is, like, for example, for us specifically, if one was to go to slmgetinvolved.org, several things. One is there is a button where you can learn about how to donate to our ministry, to become a financial partner with us, to become a prayer warrior with us. We actually have just gone through a process where we were raising, we had a matching gift campaign because we're going to be introducing ultrasound to our Alexandria Center here in 2013. And we just want to give praise to God that a number of folks came on board, or even in some cases stepped up immensely their giving. And we actually met the need as of about 2 weeks ago. So we are ready to press on in 2013 and introduce ultrasound in Alexandria to increase the impact in Fairfax County. So it's everything from projects like that to the obvious, Rita. You know, I've been in nonprofit work. I mentioned Focus on the Family, et cetera. But, you know, utility bills, et cetera, are not very glamorous. But, you know, day in and day out, we have an ultrasound machine to run, salaries to pay, you know, utilities to pay, et cetera. So even the ongoing, what I call lifeblood donations of the ministry are critical to us.
Stan, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the privilege.
God bless you and all that you're doing. And
well, thank you, Rita.
Thank you so much.
For joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.